Namaskar. Just bring yourself into a comfortable seated position or lying position or physical posture of your choice. The eyes close, the jaw relaxes. The tongue folds back up against the roof of the mouth. We're just kind of starting that great journey inside. And we're breathing. We're breathing through the nasal passages. You're using the abdominal muscles to guide the breath. We're breathing, we're reflecting. And we're practicing. We're practicing that introversion movement of mind, which is the essence of meditation. We're going to talk a little bit about practice here. It'll be a contemplative talk. We'll practice as we discuss practicing. But when we practice, we have to know what is it that we're practicing. Human beings are psychic beings, we're mental beings. So any practice, anything you do is conditioning of mind. And we have to understand how mind works. Just like water, mind naturally flows from high to low. That's to say, it's prone to degeneration. For everybody, just as the body is. If you don't do anything with the body, it degenerates. If you engage the body, it'll generate, it'll active, you'll limber up, you'll strengthen so many things. Mind is the same way. If you don't use your mind, it will degenerate, it'll become static, depressed, all different types of things. So the practice of yoga is the practice of putting body into proper formation and mind into right thinking. But the other thing we need to know about the mind is that it will accept whatever you give it. If you give the mind a lot of movies or things like that, it'll come adjusted to that. It'll crave that. And we live in a very extroverted society right now, materialistic society, and those things are constantly being channeled in, pumped. So if we're not careful, two things are going to happen. One, the mind will get adjusted to more cruder type of thought practices or thinking. because of what we feed it or what it gets fed by the general society. And the other thing is that if we don't practice, it's bound to become more lethargic and dull. Sounds like a no-win situation, huh? But in yoga, there's always victory. Without the practice, the practitioner is kind of like a gunslinger without a gun. We need the practice. And the beautiful thing is that the human mind is very supple, very flexible. Just as if you feed it bad movies and it will adjust with all those cruder vibrations, when you feed it something more subtle or more reflective or more contemplative, then it will adjust with that. And it will like that. And it will crave more of it. And that's kind of our saving grace. Because everybody, the whole flow of life and of our practice for that matter, it's systoltic. It's not linear. It's constantly crests and troughs, highs and lows and highs and lows. And that mind ability to flexible when it's in a down state, that when you feed it something positive, either you get a good suggestion from a friend or you do some proper practice, then the mind will take to that. And that's one very, very beautiful quality of mind. And the other thing is that mind likes subtle. It likes subtlety. And it'll always say, okay, feed me something subtle until it gets neglected and then it'll degenerate again. But it moves towards subtlety and it will adjust with that. It'll like it. So yes, this is more peaceful for me. So how does this relate to our yoga practice, our physical practice, our meditation practice? Well, one thing is we have to be very careful to feed the mind proper, right thinking, right practice. And it's an ongoing endeavor. And as you feed that, whether it be a short meditation before your evening meal or before bed or early in the morning, the mind will crave that and it will generate and it will become refined. And that will change every aspect of your human experience, because we experience everything in this physical world through the mind, our mind. Our hands, our organs, nothing does anything without the mind giving the signal and the mind receiving the sensation. Everything goes through mind. So we have to be conscious, conscientious, and constantly try and remind ourselves to practice. When we engage more regularly in our practice, we'll get an inner reminder. A little alarm clock will go off and say, hey, it's time for that, I'm ready. And that's when you know you're adjusted, when you're well established in your practice. Kind of like your stomach when you, dinner time rises, hey, I'm about ready to be fed now. Same thing, the mind will also, if you meditate the same time every day, the mind will say, hey, time to turn off the computer or the TV. This is my time to meditate, to come back into natural form. So if we practice regularly, that's when we really can start to progress. And if we leave our practice aside for a long time and come back to it and we feel how nice that is for us. And we think, oh, this is my long-lost friend. I forgot about this. So that's some of the philosophy and practical aspects of practice. Now let's just apply that to our own breath. Start to come into a two-step breathing pattern. Long, slow inhale and exhalation. And here also you're adjusting, you're practicing, you're slowing down your breath, and you are getting the benefit of that. A slow mind is a very, very positive mind. So use the breath to slow down that whole mental spectrum. And when you start to feel adjusted with that two-step breathing pattern, maybe you'll start to extend the length of the exhalation of that rechak, that second limb. Let that slow down. So that exhale might be twice as long as the inhale. And then we're going to put that all-important spacer in between the inhalation and the exhalation. That's known as our kumbhak, our retention of breath. And you breathe in, you retain the breath for a little while, and then you exhale out. And we're practicing this. Each and every time we do this in a conscious manner, in a mindful manner, we reestablish our meditative purpose, our contemplative experience. And breathing is something that we do always, about 20,000 to 22,000 times a day. Like it or not, you got to breathe. Anywhere between 12 to 20 times a minute. And as that breath becomes more perfect, the mind will become more balanced. If the mind is more balanced, each and every interaction we have in life will be better. The bad stuff won't bother us, and the good stuff we'll recognize. So we practice this breath. This is our baseline. We'll breathe better at night. It'll affect our dreams. We'll breathe better at work. It'll reflect our mental power. Breathe better during our physical engagements. We'll have greater strength. So this whole practice aspect is about refining mind, reminding the mind to come in this direction, and the mind will appreciate. And the culminating point of the yogi, the yogini, is not practice. Because practice is an external label. When one, remember we were saying that if you get that psychic reminder that, hey, time to practice, that means you're established in your practice. But when you truly have perfected that practice, then it becomes your nature. Then you're one with that. That's yours at that point. That's no longer something you have to remember or you have to consciously practice. That becomes who you are. And ultimately that's the mode, or that's the way of the yogi, to refine oneself and to practice so diligently and be so disciplined that it becomes your nature, and then life is always blissful. Then there's no more practice. So this practice is like one very great staircase to going to someplace very important in life. And it's always the kind of Achilles heel of a human experience, because we become lethargic, lazy, we forgetful, all those things happen, and that's the whole challenge of life on this planet, or life anywhere. Human life. I always think of it as being staying on top of the ball, not getting yourself thrown off it, staying on top. And keeping the mind buoyant, practicing, being conscious of who you are, where you're going, and that we're trying to refine the mind. And then you just soak up all the beauty and benefits of that practice. So here we take three long, slow respirations as we close out this little session. Breathe easy and take yourself a little bit deeper each round. Using your hand mudra or not, mentally repeat a namaskar, just honoring that sweet place deep inside and making that connection point to something great and vast in this universe. Always remembering all the sweet love that surrounds us. Namaskar.